Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the Word of God released through Randolph Barnwell. Randolph is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban Central. Be encouraged to access free additional resources for your edification at randolphbarnwell.com. Great grace, peace, and mercy from Christ be multiplied to you as you listen to this teaching.
And I've titled my message, Safeguard the Divine Image in You. Safeguard the Divine Image in You. And so, just as an introduction, firstly, what is image? Because we're going to speak a lot about the image. The image is the nature of God in you, the likeness of God in you, the character of God in you. And so, when you represent God and you bear His image accurately on earth, do you know what God does? He filters to you His power and His authority. There's divine impossibilities that's transferred to you that overrides your human possibilities. There's divine impossibilities that overrides your human impossibilities. And so when you represent God accurately, the favor of the Lord is with you. God is with you. The observers will note that God is on you. But this is what I'm going to emphasize today. Satan also detests in seeing the image of God on you. Because like I said, with the image of God, when you represent Him accurately, to you, His representative, God will send power, divine possibilities. He will send favor your way. And you will showcase Christ through your life. Remember, God is invisible and He's only made visible through you and I. We are His hands, we are His feet, we are His mouth. He's made visible to you and I. So the enemy is going to try to mar the image of God in you. He's going to try to distort the image of God in you. And so that God does not get glory, God is not glorified. Sorry, before I start, Katie's taking Sunday school today, so all the children may leave. But Katie, it's amazing Katie speaking on representation. And when I saw her lesson last night, it's so similar to what I'm speaking on today. And so today is part 6 in representing Christ in the workplace. For the past 5 weeks, we've been speaking on representation of God in the workplace. And today is part 6, and the subtitle is Safeguarding the Divine Image in You. So I just want to do a little review for the sake of the visitors that are here today, or anyone online that's actually tuning in and hasn't heard the previous 5 sessions. Just a little review. That we're dealing with representing Christ in the workplace, and we know that work is not just about earning an income, but it's just as holy and sacred as every other department in your life. There's no dividing line between Sunday church and Monday work. You don't put on Christ to come to church on Sunday and take His nature off on a Monday till Saturday, then put Him on again on Sunday. There's no relaxing of principles in the week. Right, your life in Christ as a son of God, holistically, you develop. Christ is Lord over every area of your life. So there's no like God is in this part, but God is not in this part. God must be part of your marriage, your finances, in everything. And so, coming back to the workplace, God needs a portal to enter your work domain, and you are that portal. Christ goes to the workplace. How does He go to your work? He goes in you because you carry Him. You carry Christ, so He goes in you. So you and I have an awesome responsibility to represent Christ in our actions, in our behavior, in our words, in our contact. We got to work with the standard of excellence in everything we do. Like I said, God is invisible, and we make Him visible through the lives we lead. We can point people to God or make them run far from God based on how we represent Him. One of the songs that we're singing today, we sang today was, I will live according to your word. I will bear your image in the earth. You can only bear God's image in the earth when you live according to the word. So your placement in work is strategic. You enter as a son of God. And God must be seen in your context. Pastor Thamo always says, for example, if you're a doctor and you go into hospital, you're a son first who enters the hospital doing the function of a doctor. You're a son who enters school doing the function of a teacher. So your sonship is always first. He must be seen in your context so that when people encounter you, they must say, I have seen God. That's how serious this responsibility is. When people encounter you, they must say they have seen God. Now, Adam was created to bear God's image, but through disobedience, he disconnected from God and he marred the image of God. Through disobedience, he distorted the image of God. But then God didn't leave it as that. He sent Christ to die for us so that he can reconcile us back to God and restore the image of God back in us. That's how marvelous God is. He wants to restore his image back in us. And when we bear his image and when we bear his reputation, his representation and live accurately, this is the marvelous part I like. God filters his powers and possibilities to your life. He gives you power. He gives you authority. He gives you access to everything that he is. You have access. There's nothing that he cannot do, right? He gives you all that. And he will, but he gives it to the representative. So you and I are representatives. So when you accurately represent him, that's your portion, divine possibilities that overrules human impossibilities. And that's why Satan is after you for your downfall, because he realizes bearing the image in this earth is so powerful. You're going to draw people to God because you reveal Christ to them. He doesn't want that. So daily, the enemy is plotting, he's designing plots against you for your downfall. When you work as unto the Lord works with you. In Mark 16, verse 20, it says, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. And he confirmed the word with signs and wonders. The point I want to make here is the disciples went out to preach. That was their job. They were working. But the Lord worked with them. So when you work as unto the Lord works with you. And you will experience the reward of the Lord. Now you will experience reward from your bosses in the form of promotions, elevation, bonuses, increases. But you'll also experience the reward of the Lord, which is above the work reward. Because the reward of the Lord filters into other facets of your life. It's not just work related. So you can be rewarded with good health, with favor, good marriage. Your generation line will be intact. There's so much that God can reward you with. So it's beyond the earthly reward from your human bosses. And so that is just an overview of the past 5 weeks. Representing Christ in the workplace. What does representation mean? What does bearing the image mean? Adam distorted and marred the image through disobedience. God died for us so that he can restore the image. So that's our responsibility. So today now, this is so important, safeguarding the divine image in you. I want to use the case study of Joseph. And I want to cement and amplify principles from Joseph's life that we can apply to our lives. And so I want to start off by saying, despite trying your best to represent God in the workplace, our representation will definitely be tested. You will be tested. You're trying your best, but you will be tested. But this is the thing. We must have a positive attitude towards testing. Testing is not to make you fall. God allows testing not because he wants to trip you up. It's not to make you fall, but he wants to prepare you for success and for elevation. And he wants to form and shape the image of Christ in you. Testing can also come in the form of temptation from Satan himself. Now, the Lord allows testing for our good to form and shape us. But there's also testing that comes in the form of temptation from Satan himself. And what Satan's aim is, he wants to mar the image of Christ that you're bearing. Bearing the image in the earth, he wants to mar it. And he wants you to fall. He wants you to be discredited. He wants you to lose your reputation. But most of all, he wants to diminish God's reputation. And for me, that's the sad part. Because now, remember, the world can't see God. He's invisible. He only sees him when Regan comes to the workplace. The nature that Regan exhibits, love, forgiveness, integrity. And they see Christ in him. So if the enemy can mar that image in Regan, then guess what? Christ is not seen. Christ is not seen, and God's reputation is actually destroyed. Many times when a son of God falls, people will say, you want me to come to church? You want me to serve God? Just look how that person behaves. So when we destroy and distort the image of God in us, we bring disrepute to God's reputation. And isn't that sad? Because it's your responsibility to be, to glorify God. We also saying be glorified, to bring attention to God so that this lost and dying world can have hope in God. And so in Genesis chapter 37, I just want to give a backdrop. I'm not going to go into the whole Joseph story. But in Genesis chapter 37, we know that as a teenager, Joseph had dreams. And Joseph's dreams were that his brothers and his parents were bowing down to him. And his brothers were very angry. They were very jealous over Joseph. They said, who do you think you are? Do you think that you're going to rule over us and you our boss? And they hated him. And because Joseph was born in Jacob's old age, Jacob made a robe of many multicolors for him, and the infuriated the brothers even more. They hated him for his dreams, and now they were jealous that he had the coat and they didn't have the coat. And so one day they were in the field, and Jacob sent Joseph to go check on them, and they saw him coming, and they decided, the brothers were saying, let's kill him. This dreamer that thinks that he's going to rule over us one day, let's kill him. And so Reuben said, you know what, let's not shed blood. Let's throw him in a pit and dip his coat in blood and tell our father an animal has killed him, but don't kill him. And then a caravan of Ishmaelites were passing by. And then Judah said, you know what, let's take him out the pit. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites as a slave. And that's what they did. So they sold him to the Ishmaelites as a slave. And in Genesis chapter 39, we're going to go there now. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. The Ishmaelites sold Joseph to Potiphar. Potiphar was an officer in Pharaoh's court. He had a very high rank there. He was captain of the guard. He was highly regarded by Pharaoh. And so when the Midianites went to Egypt, the Ishmaelites, Joseph was sold to Potiphar. So I'm reading from verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw the Lord was with him. Note this. His master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house and put him in charge of all that he owned. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. And the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned, in the house and in the field. So he left Joseph in charge of everything that he owned. And with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. So in verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph in the house of the Egyptian master. Joseph had a job. He was a slave. The Lord was with him. Verse 3 says, his master saw that the Lord was with him. So God was with him and favor was upon him. When Potiphar saw everything that Joseph is touching is turning to gold, he's prospering in the home, in the field. Potiphar said, I can see that God is with him. So Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight. He found favor in God's sight. He found favor in Potiphar's sight. I want to ask you, under whose sight are you working? Because when you work unto the Lord within his sight, God opens the sight of your masters, your bosses, your managers, to be able to tap in and see that God is on you. So God was on him. He saw that God was on him because God opened his eyes to see that God is on him because of the nature that Joseph exhibited. Joseph represented well. Now, it says in this passage, Egyptian master, many times. What does Egypt represent? Egypt represents the ungodly system. Egypt represents the worldly system and ungodly principles. Yet we work unto the Lord and not as unto our masters. Right? So Potiphar, being an Egyptian master, Potiphar probably was into pagan worship. He worshipped idols. He did not worship the God of the Hebrews. Yet Potiphar tapped into a spiritual dynamic because he was able to see that the Lord was with Joseph because of the spirit of excellence on Joseph. So can you see here? Joseph was in a Babylonian system, an Egyptian system where there was no godly principles. Joseph, because his master saw, you can say Joseph was the light in the darkness. Your productivity and proficiency in the workplace reveals to the observers the presence of Christ. So when you are proficient and productive and work with the spirit of excellence, you're going to reveal to all the observers that Christ is with you. And so this is what happened to Joseph. There was a spirit of excellence on him. He was light in the darkness. Potiphar was able to tap into the spiritual dynamic. And I want to put a challenge out there for us. Can we say that our bosses say we can see the Lord is with him? They can only see that when you exhibit the image of God and bear his representation. So that was the first scenario, Joseph in Potiphar's house. Now, Joseph was then thrown into prison. In Joseph's timeline, he was now thrown into prison when he was falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife, right? He rejected her advances, and so he was unfairly jailed for a crime he did not commit. In verse 21, 39 verse 21 says the following. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the warden of the prison. So what do you see that's similar here? Just like Potiphar, we see again, if you work as unto the Lord, within his sight, he will open up the sights of your managers. And so Joseph, the jail keeper, he saw, it says, the Lord was with Joseph and found Joseph found favor in his sight of the warden. So when the chief jailer saw God's hand on Joseph, in his own sight, the prison warden's sight, Joseph found favor. So the prison warden, he was able to tap into the spiritual dynamic as well. There's a guy here with representation. Remember, when you're God's representative, he filters his power to you, his favor on you, his authority, everything you have. And observers can but see it. They cannot not see it. So now the jailer, who was an Egyptian master, also saw, I see something with you. I serve a pagan god. I serve idols. But this God, this Hebrew, we can see the hand of his God is on him. So you know what the jailer does in verse 22? The warden of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison so that whatever was done, Joseph was responsible. When he saw it, he said, you know what, Joseph, I am putting you in charge of, you're second to me. You're in charge of every prisoner, right? The keeper of the prison put him in charge. He paid no attention to anything Joseph did because he saw the Lord was with him. When he saw God's nature on Joseph, now what is God's nature? Part of his nature. There's so much facets to God's nature. Honesty, he knew Joseph would, because God is on him, he's honest, he's trustworthy. When he saw God's nature, he allowed Joseph to work without his supervision. He just had trust and confidence in him. You know, many of us can only work under supervision. We see the manager in the office that day and we got our ducks in a row because the manager's there. Managers go, we relax. But Joseph could work under supervision and still give his all. And so, the prison keeper, he tapped into the spiritual dynamic that God's hand is on him, and therefore Joseph found sight in the prisoner's eyes. Then, listen to this carefully. While Joseph was in prison, Joseph had the gift of interpretation of dreams. He interpreted the baker and the butler's dreams. He used his gift of dream interpretation outside of the church context. So what I want to encourage you, in the midst of your personal trial, in the midst of your personal trial, where you feel like you are bound, do not allow your gift to be bound. Joseph was bound in prison, but he did not allow his gift to be bound. He still engaged spiritually. He still engaged. He didn't allow his trials and his testings to stop his spiritual engagement. If he did, he would have remained in prison. You know why? Using his gift in prison was actually his ticket out of prison. because he used his gift to interpret that the cupbearer is going to be released back to the palace. And he told the cupbearer, when you get back to the palace, remember me. Fine, the cupbearer forgot him for 2 years. But when Pharaoh had a nightmare, the cupbearer remembered Joseph and said, there's a Hebrew in prison. And so Pharaoh sent for Joseph. So Randolph always says, if you care and cultivate for your environment will serve you. Joseph cultivated and cared for the prison environment, which served him by being instrumental in his release later. So can you picture Joseph now? He didn't have a pity party. He's falsely accused of a crime, rape, that he didn't commit. He's in jail. The jailer sees, I can see God's hand on him. He tapped into a spiritual dimension, being an Egyptian master. He saw God's hand on him. And so we see that he used his gifts there, and he didn't have a pity party saying, why must I operate in my gifts? Why did God allow me here? I was faithful in Potiphar's house. I worked to the best of my ability. I served him honestly. I was loyal. And because I resisted temptation, I was falsely accused of a crime. He didn't have a pity party. In the midst of his trials and testing, he realized, I have a gift of interpretation. These two prisoners, the baker and the butler, were troubled by their dream. The baker's interpretation was his head would have been decapitated in 3 days. And the cupbearer, his interpretation that Joseph gave, you're going to be released back to the palace, which he was. After accurately interpreting the cupbearer's dream, Joseph said, please remember me. But he forgot him until 2 years later. So remember, in your workplace, things may not be going well for you. Things may not be going how you want it to go. That does not mean take your spiritual gift and put it on hold until things go well. Use your gift where you are. That gift, even in your workplace, could be instrumental in your promotion, in your elevation, and in release from areas of limitation that you have in your life. Using your gift at work could bring release to you, like using his gift brought release to Joseph. And so the third scenario is Joseph in Pharaoh's courts. So Pharaoh had these two dreams that none of the magicians in the land, none of the wise men could interpret the dream. And so he was troubled by it. And so I won't go into detail about the dream. You know the dream about the cows. You can read Genesis chapter 41, from 39 to 41. And so he has two dreams. And then the cup, and he was troubled because he called for the magicians, the soothsayers, the fortune tellers, the wise men. Nobody could interpret. Then the lights went on in the cupbearer, and he said, I remember when I was in jail 2 years ago, there was a Hebrew boy there. God was with him. He could interpret dreams. Immediately Pharaoh said, send for him. So we read in Genesis 41 verse 15. Genesis 41 verse 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, it has nothing to do with me. God will give Pharaoh an answer for his own good. Now look at Joseph. Pharaoh is praising him. And Pharaoh saying, it is said that you can interpret dreams accurately. Immediately Joseph stopped him. He redirected the credit to God. He said, I'm representing God in my spiritual gift. I have the gift of interpretation of dreams. I am just representing God with the gift that he has given me. So when I interpret your dream, it's not me interpreting your dream. It's God who has given me the gift because I'm representing him. It's God who's given you the interpretation. So with Joseph, it wasn't about self-glory or fame. So let's just be careful when sometimes we are given credit for something. Immediately redirect the credit to God and say, and even if it's your spiritual gifting that caused a positive impact, just say, it's God who blessed me with this gift. I'm just his representative. Remember, God resources his representative. He filters his power and his wisdom through you. Remember Daniel? Well, before I get there, when you live in the power of representation, you go beyond human limitation because God gave Joseph wisdom that he didn't have his own wisdom. So this is your and my portion. Live in the power of representation bear the image accurately, and you'll know that you will live in God's power. Divine possibility, as I said, overrides human impossibility. What's humanly impossible? When you represent Christ, it will be divinely possible when you bear his image. And it'll come your way. Satan will come your way to mar this image. Remember Daniel. Joseph was given a dream by Pharaoh that he had to interpret. Daniel now, with Nebuchadnezzar, when he had the dream. Nebuchadnezzar was so upset that none of his magicians and wise men, he was angry, none of them could interpret his dream. So when Daniel was there, he said, now, you must, to know that this is of God, you must give me your dream, tell me what I dreamed, and then interpret it. Now imagine that, you know, everyone was giving Joseph the dream and Joseph interpreted accurately. But Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar said, you must first tell me what I dreamed, then interpret it. Now that there, Daniel could never have done that. Daniel was a human being like you and I. And as humans, we have limitations. There's impossibilities in our lives. That's why I want to stress this point. When you represent God, there will be divine possibilities that will override your human impossibility and limitation. So Joseph had a wisdom that Pharaoh could see. We can see God's on you. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 38 to 39. Genesis 41, 38 to 39. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom there is a divine spirit? Once now he interpreted the dream, Pharaoh was so impressed. He said, can we find a man like this? Can we find a man like this in whom God's spirit is? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all of this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you are. I love what the Message Bible says in the same chapter 38 and 39. The Message Bible says, isn't this the man we need? Are we going to find anyone else who has God's spirit in him like this? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, you the man for us. God has given you the inside story. How amazing is that in the Message version? Pharaoh is saying, Joseph, you the man. After interpreting my dream, I need to put you in charge of the whole of Egypt and how we're going to sort out the famine. There's going to be 7 years of famine, of plenty, and then 7 years of famine. We need economic strategy now. How are we going to save in the 7 years? But because God is with you, I see God's spirit on you. I see God's favor on you. Who else is there like unto you? Look what he says. God has given you the inside story. Guess what? When you as the representative of God, he can give you the inside story too. He can give you the heads up and the step ahead. So he said, Joseph, I'm putting you in charge of all the land. You're going to be second in charge of Egypt, governor. And you're going to develop strategy on how in the 7 years of plenty we're going to save. So in the 7 years of famine, we know there was enough not only to feed Egypt, but all the nations of the earth came to Egypt because they had abundance of grain in the 7 years of famine. And so Pharaoh tapped into a spiritual dynamic like Potiphar, like the prison keeper, and now Pharaoh, the three P's, Potiphar, the prison keeper, Pharaoh. Pharaoh tapped into the dynamic, the spiritual dynamic that this man represents God. We see God in him. The favor of God is on him. And in our sight, we can see the favor. God opened their sight to see God. So they tapped into being Egyptians. Like I said, Egypt represents the world, ungodly principles, the worldly systems. And being Egyptians in pagan worship and idol worship, they could see God because Joseph bore the image well and he represented God accurately. When you bear the image well at work and in every other department, people are really going to see the person of God in you. And in verse 40, Pharaoh says, you shall be over my house. Years before, he was faithful over Potiphar's house. And now Pharaoh said, you are now going to be in charge of my house. Now, I want to encourage you this, and I feel this prophetically. Joseph was faithful in Potiphar's house, and now he had rulership over a king's house. Rulership over a king's house. I sense prophetically that some of you, many of you, have been faithful in your little tasks and assignments that you've been assigned. For example, even set up on a Saturday. We don't have our own building. And it's really tedious. Every Saturday, the setup team got to set up on a Saturday, sit down. But they do it faithfully. They do it with joy. They do it with the spring in the step. And you may feel that's a small thing, putting the chairs in a row, connecting the mics. But when you do that faithfully, Joseph ruled Potiphar's house faithfully. Now he was ruler in the king's house. And so I sense that God is going to elevate you. God is going to elevate you because of your previous faithfulness in small things. You're going to now be ruler over much. It can come in the form of promotions and in various ways, but I sense the elevation of the Lord coming to those who year after year, you've been faithful, you've been unseen, you've been hidden. God's going to now bring you up out and there's going to be an elevation. So these were the three, Potiphar, the prison keeper, and Pharaoh. Being Egyptian masters, they were able to tap into a spiritual dynamic. Now I want to rewind and go back to Genesis 39, verse 6, the second part of verse 6. Genesis 39, 6b to 7 says this. Now Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. So this is talking about his physical stature. He was handsome in form and appearance. And it came about after these events that his master's wife had her eyes on Joseph. And she said, sleep with me. The ESV version says, she cast her eyes on him and said, lie with me. Now we're speaking about sight again. These Egyptians that I mentioned, Potiphar, Pharaoh, the prison, when they saw the representation in Joseph, I see God is with you. And they bestowed favor. As earthly bosses, they bestowed favor. This woman, Potiphar's wife, she also saw the representation because he resisted her. He resisted her. So in his resistance was his reputation. Can you see that? Can you see that? So his representation was resistance against a plot aimed at destroying his reputation. There was a plot aimed to destroy his reputation, but he resisted. And that's how he represented God, by resisting her. So what's the difference here? Potiphar's wife tapped into a carnal, fleshly dimension. She saw representation, but she had as her agenda temptation. So what the other saw, she saw. But she came from a carnal point of view, a fleshly. The Bible says, I saw his form, I saw his muscles, I saw the external, and I desired to sleep with him. There was a agenda to tempt him, to cause him to fall into sin. And remember with Adam, when you disobey and you fall into sin, what happens with the image we bear? Remember, the image is the likeness, the character of God that we bear and we uphold wherever we go. When we disobey and fall into temptation, we mar the image of God. We distort it. We destroy the image of God. So her aim was cause him to sin. I want to caution everyone here. Be careful of the bait. While you're going to work and representing Christ, the overall theme is representing Christ in the workplace, but not only the workplace am I referring to, whichever facet of life you find yourself, any context. When you go there, be careful of the bait. Not everyone will respect your representation. Potiphar, Pharaoh, the prison keeper, respected Joseph's representation and granted him favor in their sight. He had favor in God's sight, but in their sight. She sees favor on him, but she had carnal intentions. I want to tempt you. I want to cause you to sin. I want to mar that reputation in you. So I want to encourage you that you will be tested. False accusation of rape was in the context of his work. Joseph was working in Pharaoh's house. In his context of working, there was the false accusation of rape. So not every test that you have at work will be work-related. So you can have a test where maybe you made a mistake and you want to cover up your mistake in your report and you're hiding your mistake and you're giving a false report. Or you didn't meet deadlines, but you want to jippo the figures so your boss can think you met deadlines. Or there are things at work that you're not supposed to take home or use, and you're using the things at work. Or in some way with work, you're crooking the books. Dishonesty, non-integrous. You can be tested in your work context, but also at work, you can be tested with moral issues, like relational tension. Colleagues could be jealous of you. That could be your test. It's got nothing to do with your actual work per se, but it could be jealousy. There could be relational tension, even adultery. Somebody of the opposite sex could be giving you attention and telling you how smart you look. So being at work, you're not only going to be tested relating to your work, but with morally you're going to be tested as well, which Joseph was. But Joseph maintained his image and likeness when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. He maintained his sexual purity. He knew his boundaries and sphere of responsibilities, but he didn't abuse it. Now, this is another point I want to mention. There's boundaries that we need not to cross. In Genesis 39, verse 9, there is no one greater in this house than I. Now, this is Potiphar talking to Joseph. There is no one greater, no, sorry, Joseph. Now, when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, this is what he says to her. There is no one greater in this house than I. And he, Potiphar, has withheld nothing from me except you. What is he saying to the wife? Your husband put me in charge of everything. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? Joseph knew his boundaries. Joseph knew his metron. Joseph knew his lane. You know, we've heard the saying, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Know your metron of grace. Know your lane. Know your boundaries. So Joseph knew not. Potiphar put him in charge of everything, but not the wife. And so he realized, I'm not going to cross boundaries. You may be tempted in life to go beyond your metron. Maybe you're tempted to make comments in areas you know nothing about. You could be judged. I want to warn you, you could be judged. When you come out of your metron and your space, you could be judged. Miriam spoke against leadership, right? She went out of her lane. It wasn't her lane. It was not her domain to question Moses. She spoke against leadership and God struck her with leprosy, right? The root cause was jealousy. So Miriam was a prophetess, she was Moses' sister, but she stepped out of her metron of grace and she decided, I'm going to question leadership. It wasn't her domain. She should not make comments in that arena. She was judged with leprosy. So I want to encourage you, there's boundary lines at work. There are rules that's at work. Stay within your boundaries. Stay within your boundaries in all areas of your life, in your marriage. Don't look lustfully at someone in the opposite sex. Stay within your boundaries. You see money lying around. It's not yours. And you could take it because nobody's looking. It's not yours. Do the right thing. May integrity prevail in every area of your life. And now, look, take note of what the wife did. I didn't realize this until I went to read the passage again in preparing for this. The Bible says, Genesis 39 verse 10. And as she spoke to Joseph, this is Potiphar's wife, day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. I thought, you know, in the scenario that we all hear the story, one day Potiphar's wife said, lie with me. He said, no, how can I do this wicked thing in my sight? Then she grabbed his coat and he ran away and then she had the coat in her hand and accused him of rape. But it wasn't a one-off issue. The Bible says day after day she spoke to Joseph. So she came enticingly to him day after day. Caution for you. Day after day, the enemy will strike you with repetitive temptation, which could weary your resolve. When the enemy comes day after day with the same thing, it can, you know, like it's chipping at something and then there's a dent there. It can weary your resolve. Not Joseph. Not Joseph, because Joseph bore the image accurately. Joseph was a good representative. He had unwavering integrity. His conduct was exemplary. He represented Christ accurately. And so he stood strong. Day after day she came, he stood strong. He removed himself from the context. But one day, the Bible says, there was nobody in the house when Joseph went in to do his normal duties. And she saw and she realized, I'm going to go further now. I'm going to go closer. I'm going to touch him. I'm going to grab him. And she says, lie with me because now all the other staff are not there. Straight away, that's when he said, I will never do this wicked thing. Your husband has put me in charge of everything, not you. I will stay in my metron where I'm supposed to work. So she pulled his coat. He ran out of the house. And then she called the staff and she said, look at Joseph. He tried to rape me. And then he was thrown into jail. So just an aside comment. No one was in the house. Be wise with being alone with the opposite sex. All right? Be wise with being alone. If you're going to be alone, make sure your spouse is with you. If you're visiting somebody, only the wife is there, not the husband. Say you'll come back later when the husband is there. Not that you're not trusted or anything, but you are bearing God's image. Don't do anything to just guard your context. The title of this message is Safeguard the Divine Image in You. So more than ever, I want to safeguard the image. I don't even want to be seen. Maybe somebody, a work colleague will say, I meet him at Checkers and he says, let's just have coffee. I want to tell you about this issue I'm going through. No, thank you. My husband is not with me. Wait for him to be with me or come home when we're both there. I know that he's innocent. He wants to tell me something serious he's going through. I know my intentions are pure before the Lord. His intentions are pure. But just the context of two of us sitting out there having coffee, the onlookers, the observers can pass by and see what is happening there. I can bring disrepute to God based on not representing God accurately. So it's just keys to wisdom I want to give you. Be careful. So Joseph, he was innocent. He worked in, but he went in that day when no staff was there. And that's when she said, now I can go further. But she didn't go, and she pulled the cloak. So this is the point I want to make. In Luke chapter 4. Now remember, we're speaking about safeguarding the divine image, and daily the enemy is going to come repetitively to mar the image, because with your image comes power, authority, favor, anointing. You're going to impact people. You're going to show the world Christ. As you enter the workplace, Christ is in you entering. You're the portal. You're going to, and Satan is angry. I don't want people to see Christ. God's invisible. You must be inaccurate so they can go away from Christ. In Luke chapter 4, Ranulph alluded to this. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness three times by the enemy unsuccessfully. The enemy tried three times to cause Jesus to sin, but Jesus stood his ground. It is written, it is written, it is written. He knew the word. So be careful, you know, make sure you know the word when you're tempted, what the word says on that matter. And so, unsuccessfully. Now listen carefully to this. This is key. Luke 4:13. And so when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until a more opportune time. The devil is trying to tempt Jesus, trying to tempt him, trying to tempt. Jesus is passing the test. So the devil left him. And the devil thought, I'll come back at a more opportune time. I'll look for an area of weakness and I'll come back. Right? Satan backed off to reposition himself. He backed off to devise another plan. When you pass the test, don't now relax your resistance and feel, hey, I passed the test. Bring the test around anytime. Satan goes back to the drawing board. He wants to devise another plan. He's repositioning himself to strike again. When Satan tries to bait you to fall into temptation and you pass the test, he will come back at a more opportune time with the same temptation that you passed previously. So that is why I want to say, be strong in your resolve. Be strong in your resolve. He's going to come back. Don't let it weaken. You know, the I'm thinking now of the persistent widow, although that was a positive case. The persistent widow, there was an ungodly judge. And the persistent widow needed help against her adversary. And he said, no. And she came back day after day. He said, no, 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 I'm not going to help you. And then you know what the ungodly judge said? You know, this woman is wearing me out because she's coming over and over. Okay, let me give her what she wants. So this is what the enemy does. He comes over and over again. That is a positive ending. But he comes again and again knowing he's going to wear you out. And then you're going to give in. He comes back for a more opportune time. And so I believe this was the more opportune time. He left Jesus. to devise another plan. He wanted to get more bait. Right? You passed the test. Jesus passed the test in Matthew 16:16. Simon Peter. Matthew 16:16. Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." Verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and to suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and to be raised up on the third day. So Jesus is explaining to them now, okay, you said I'm the Christ, this is what's going to happen. In the next few days, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to be raised up on the first day. Look at verse 22, what Peter says. Peter took him aside and Peter rebuked Jesus. And he said, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. This shall never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's purposes, but men's." Now, Jesus passed the temptation in the wilderness. Now there's Peter starting off by saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saying, "Blessed are you." And then Jesus is telling them about how he's going to die. Now, I don't think Peter, firstly, Peter was not the devil, right? He didn't say, "Get behind me, Peter." He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter's intentions were really good. Peter loved Jesus so much. You know, he was the first to speak up. He cut off the man's ear that was taking Jesus. And he was just saying, "God, Jesus, we love you so much. We don't want you to die. No, Jesus, far be it from you." Like, I can see him tugging him. "Far be it, Lord. Don't go to the cross. We want you with us. We don't want you to die." His intention was good, but he didn't see the grand plan of God, that it was necessary to die. But Satan saw it. Satan saw, if he dies for y'all, you're going to be reconciled and the image in y'all are going to be restored. I don't want to see the image of Christ in you, because you're going to draw people to God. I want to mar that image. So I'm trying to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. So the first time Satan attacked Jesus directly, unsuccessfully. Now his second scheme was, I'm going to use a human being. And through the human being, get the human being to come to you to try to stop you from going to the cross. But Jesus had great discernment and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He wasn't calling Peter Satan. He knew Peter loved him, but he saw Satan. Remember, he went back to the drawing board to see, "I'm looking for a more opportune time to stop you from going to the cross." And he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." So I want to encourage you that in the workplace, sometimes temptation is going to come through human beings, right? It's going to come through humans. You got to ask God for strong discernment. You got to discern when Satan is using bait. People are saying things and they're doing things to you and things are happening and it's the bait put before you. You must discern, this is the bait of the enemy to make me fall, to make me not respond, but to react carnally. And when I react carnally, I'm marring the image in me. I'm not a good representative. And so you got to be careful. Your successful resistance the first time must not make you lose resistance going forward. Joseph stood firm. He stood firm. He stood firm. Jesus likewise stood firm. When temptation came now through a human being, Jesus stood firm. And Jesus violently said, "Get behind me, Satan." But just as an aside, Satan used flattery. The setup was flattery. He says, "Let me first let Peter praise Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Wow, blessed are you. This revelation, only God could have revealed it to you." And then once he praised God, then he comes in. You can't go to the cross. You can't go to the cross. Be careful. Beware of the enemy's plot to position you in favor and in downfall by using flattering words. In Psalm 5 verse 9, it says, they flatter with their tongue, right? They flatter with their tongue. Started with flattery. Praise of Jesus was a powerful setup by Satan. Be careful of people flattering you. Before they put the bait, they want you to feel good. They want you to feel nice. They want you to, so when the bait comes, it's like that was the grounding and you can fall. Sons of God, safeguard the divine image of God in you. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Don't buckle. Potiphar's wife came to him repetitively, and his response was the same every time. May your response of resistance be the same every time. We have people saying, hey, that was just my moment of weakness, and I fell. I had one moment of weakness. Try not to have that moment. I know we are human, and we all fall, including myself. But if you do fall, repent quickly and ask God to restore his image in you. Don't wallow in guilt and condemnation. So she came repetitively because she wanted to weaken his representation, but she didn't win. Joseph had unwavering integrity and uncompromising conduct that stood the test of time. That's what made him stand. Unflinching, uncompromising conduct, unwavering integrity. Right? Remember, we have to guard this image because in the middle and in the height of your success, satanic plans are being devised for you, your downfall. And like I said, when you downfall, you don't only bring discredit to yourself and lose your reputation. Most of all, you bring disrepute to God's reputation. And I get so angry when people that call themselves sons of God behave in a way that the world looks at them and say, don't give me your God. If that's how you speak and behave, I don't want this Christ. And the whole aim, we were created to bear the image of God. We were created to bear God's image was for the sake of showing God to the world. We are showing God to the world because God's invisible. God's in this room now, he's invisible. We can only show him to the world by our nature, our actions, our words. And so if Satan can get your representation and your mar the image, then there's nothing to show to the world. And there'll be no hope in a lost and in a dying world. While Joseph was unfairly imprisoned, his stay in prison was a necessary stop to catapult him to the palace. So he was in Potiphar's house, went to prison, ended up in the palace. But in his destination, in his journey to the palace, it was necessary to go to prison. He had to go there because there he used his gifts to interpret the dream. And because he interpreted the dream, when Pharaoh had a dream, Pharaoh sent for him. So the prison was the context that he served him. He was released out of there because he did not renege on his spiritual gifting. He still was spiritually engaged. So he had to go through there. Like Jesus had to go through Samaria. On the way to Galilee, Jesus had to go past Samaria. Galilee was this route. Samaria was a detour. But he had to go through Samaria because who was waiting there? The woman at the well. So sometimes, in fact, we all have a destiny. There's a destination that we're after. And we, in our life on earth, we're journeying towards the finish and the fulfillment of that destiny. But in your journey, you're going to go through processes and places that may not be pleasant. It will not be pleasant. But it's all part are necessary to catapult you for where you're going to be. It can actually fast track you. So next time you have a test and a trial, don't like say, oh, now this is going to hinder me. Have it in the mindset. Joseph's test was thrown into prison unfairly. It didn't hinder him. He used his gifts there and that was his ticket out of there. He got to the palace quickly. Next time you are being tested, realize that maybe this is what I need to catapult me to where God wants to take me. I have to go through this here. And God will give you grace to go through it. It's needful that we go through certain testings and processes that are not pleasant. But God really wants us to push us to the next phase of his will. So Joseph was a case of accurate representation. He bore the image of God well. He was flawless. You know, like even his forgiveness of his brothers. It's like in every department. When you represent Christ, not only does he filter his power and authority to you, his nature, everything that he is, comes upon you. So that's why Joseph could forgive. Joseph could resist. Joseph had integrity. Joseph had love for his brothers that hated him. Like in every facet of Joseph's life, it's like just a tick. Because he fully represented God. And that can be our portion. When you bear the image, favor will follow you. Things will burst open for you because there's a representative walking by. And the heathen Egyptian master will see, like I said, those Egyptian masters were part of the worldly system with ungodly principles. But they tapped into a spiritual dynamic and they saw. So Joseph represented well in the workplace. Judas did not. Judas was a treasurer. He allowed, and he was an apostle. He allowed greed and covetousness to disqualify him. When the thought, the Bible says, Satan inserted a thought in Judas's mind to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The thought entered his mind. Judas could have cast down that thought. Now he was an apostle. His job was a treasurer. He's in the workplace. A temptation comes to him. Now there's bait. Bait is coming to him. Hey, Judas, you like money? We'll give you 30 pieces of silver. Tell us where Jesus' location is on this day and this time. We want to arrest him. And so the thought entered his mind. Doesn't thoughts enter your mind? Bad thoughts? But we've got to cast it down. He entertained the thoughts because he did not represent Christ well. He fell for the bait. He had traces of greed and covetousness in him. Greed and covetousness is not the nature of God. So if you have things in you that's not the nature of God, you can easily fall for the bait. If you have unforgiveness in you, if you have bitterness in you, you can easily fall for the bait. So yeah, he had a job. He fell for the bait. He did not represent God. When you don't represent God in the workplace, it's not without consequences. Not only did he lose his job as a treasurer, guess what? It disqualified him from a spiritual function as an apostle. So what you do in the workplace impacts your spiritual destiny. What you do in the workplace, his job was a treasurer. What he did in the workplace betrayed Jesus himself, greed, covetousness, suffered the consequences. So it impacted his spiritual destiny and he could no longer function as an apostle. So he had a ministerial function as an apostle and he had an earthly function. You have an earthly job, but you also have a spiritual mandate to represent Christ wherever you are. Our focus is in the workplace, but in every department of your life. In the movies, in the supermarket, in the bank, you represent Christ. So what you do in the workplace can impact your spiritual destiny. And in summary, I just want to say this. We have a mandate on earth. We were created, like Adam, with the mandate to bear the image of God in the earth, to represent Christ by bearing his nature, not just in the workplace, but in every department of our life. We were created to make an invisible God visible by our speech, our actions, our behavior. Sons of God, I want to encourage you, do everything to safeguard the divine image in you. Don't fall for Satan's bait. I want to emphasize it. Daily, even now, when you leave the service, there's a plan being plotted for you. You pass the test. Nikki, you passed the test this week, the next one. And when you pass that test, that same one's going to come back to you, the same area, to cause like a kink there, to weaken your resolve, to make you weary in your resolve. Don't be weary like Joseph. Safeguard it. Joseph prevailed due to his strong representation. You can prevail. There's so much. I want you to tap in this morning on what you can do as a son of God, what you can accomplish. Imagine when God says, I'm looking down on earth. I see my representative. Power, send heaven, whole of heaven, filter your power there to Nolan. Filter your power to Fanele. Give him power. Give him authority. I'm going to favor him, but I'm going to cause the favor, the signs on him to be seen by the earthly bosses. So then the earthly bosses and all the observers in your sphere, your family, your friends, their eyes are open. They can see, right? But also remember that not everyone's going to respect your reputation, your representation. They're not going to respect it, and they're going to, but you must remain principled. They won't respect it, but you must remain principled nevertheless, because God will support and resource his representatives. So doesn't this motivate you? I want to be an accurate representative. God's going to resource me. Favor's going to be on me. Sight, his sight is going to, I work within his sight. And he bursts open the sight of managers to see you and to favor you. But also when you please God, you get the reward of the Lord. So while you'll be blessed in the workplace, in your finances, in your health, in your marriage, God will bless you in areas beyond work. but because you're faithful at work. So don't think faithful at work, blessing at work. Faithful in the house, blessing in the house. Faithful in the marriage, blessing in the marriage. Faithful in finances, blessing in finances. When you do something righteous at work, that blessing, the reward of the Lord, filters into every department of your life. Though your earthly boss just gives you a reward in work, at work, promotion, increased bonus, all work-related, full stop. That's where it stops. But with God, the reward of the Lord filters beyond that in every area of your life. And the observers will see. Everyone will observe. What will they see? The person of Christ in you, because you represent it accurately. When you bear his image, always know that divine possibility. Divine possibility will override human impossibilities. And that's what I like, the supernatural. Whatever's humanly impossible is divine possible, because it's supernatural. It's divine. It's from the heavens. It's from God himself. So the supernatural will be at work in your life. So don't see anything as impossible. There is nothing that you will not be able to accomplish. Now, this should excite you. If I'm a representative, I can accomplish anything. The impossible can be done. God can overrule something. I just want to give an example once when I was still in the marketplace. And I was permanent there, a medical underwriter. And after Luke was born, I really wanted to work half day. And they said, many others wanted. Now, after COVID, so many are working from home. You are so blessed, Moira, working from home. I wanted to work from home. They didn't allow it in those days. And so I really thought I wanted to work half day. So they said the only way you can work half day is to officially resign on the books. But you're not resigning from work. And then we classify you as a contract worker. But the only thing, contract, but I was so desperate to work half day, I did that. So I never lose one day. Tuesday, I was permanent. Wednesday, I was contract, doing the same function. It actually worked to my detriment because I worked from 7:30 to 1, but all the work I didn't finish, I took home. So I was literally still working a full day. And so then bonus time came. And at the company I worked, you really had great, great bonuses. And so I discovered that if you classify it as a contract worker, even though I'm permanent, you don't get a bonus. And I've had good bonuses and increases all my life in that company. And I thought, no bonus for me. So on bonus day, all the staff were saying, wow, I got $40,000, $30,000. Like in that time, it was a lot of money. And that would have been my bonus as well. And I said, God, it's so unfair. I'm working with all my heart. I'm being honest. I'm being integrous. I'm representing you in the workplace. I didn't want to work half day in this way where I must be classified as a contract worker. They couldn't grant me half day status, so that's the only way I had to do it. And now I don't get 1 cent bonus. Like I felt it's so unfair. God, can you give me a bonus? Can you do that? Anyway, the next day, my manager calls me in. And he says, about 3 days after bonus day, everyone's enjoyed their bonus. I have nothing. He called me in and he says, Renee, this has never happened in over 50 years in the company that a contract worker gets a bonus. So they lifted the rule and all the contract workers, others were really contract workers part-time. I was like I'm saying, full-time, permanent, but classified as contract in HR just to allow me to work half day. So he says, they've lifted it. And tomorrow, the money, your bonus will be in your account. But now, this is the amazing thing. I'm not testifying about that. This is the amazing thing. The next day, the bonus was in my account. All praise to God. I said, Father, you are faithful. You are faithful. You saw my work secretly, working with excellence. You honored your reward. So the money was in my account the next day. The following day, after the money was in my account, it was announced at the staff meeting. Management said they don't know why they did that. They made the rule again, no bonuses for contract workers, and they put it back in place. So up until now, contract workers don't get bonuses. So look what God did. God lifted a natural rule that said no bonuses. He lifted it. The bonus went into my account. When God saw, safe, you got it there in your account. Next day, bling, the rule goes up again. No more bonuses going forward for contract workers. God, I saw God did it just for me. He's representative. The impossible. Heaven can bring possibilities into your life where things are impossible. And then subsequent to that, long story short, I realized I'm going to just go full-time into a full day, not half day. So I was back on the books, getting bonuses again. But that incident reminded me, not for bonus sake, because I realized I was working a full day, the rest of the day at home with a lower salary. So then I went back to full-time. But I marvel and I share that testimony. Like I'm saying, it's not about the money. It's about how God overrode a company rule to allow me to get that. And then he put the rule back in place because I was safe and I had it. So that's just one maybe silly area I mentioned. But I'm saying God can do the same for you in your health, in your marriage. Your marriage could be failing and falling apart. God can do that. He can turn things around when you bear his image. You, the representative, are privy. You have access to everything God has. When you bear his image, there's nothing you won't be able to accomplish. You can access everything who God is. You access everything. The Son accesses that. The Son, but not any Son. The Son who bears the image, who represents Christ accurately. The Word, I will live according to your Word. I will bear your image in the earth. Live according to the Word, bear his image in the earth. And so when you guard the image, God will bless the work of your hands. Amen. Do you receive that word from the Lord? Do you receive it? And so, I just want to pray with you. Let's stand. Take your communion emblems. We'll partake afterwards. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word, which is still a sharp, it's quick, it's powerful. It has power to transform our lives, God. And Father, today, as your sons, God, we want to live according to your word, God. We want to bear your image in the earth accurately. We want to be a good representative of everything you are. Your nature, your character, your likeness, God, we want to bear it in the context we find ourselves, in the work context and beyond. Father, we know that in your sight, Lord, we want to work in your sight as unto you. God, we know that your favor we will experience. May people say when they look at us, we can see that the Lord is with her. We can see that the Lord is with him. Thank you for the favor and power and authority that you grant us as your sons, God, when we work as unto you and bear this image. Father, right now I ask you for greater levels of discernment for each one of us. God, help us to recognize the bait of the enemy, God. The enemy will trip us to mar and distort your image in us. But Father, give us great discernment like Joseph, like Jesus. Father, that we don't mar and destroy your image, God. But Lord, that we serve you in spirit and in truth with the spirit of excellence. That we draw, that you be glorified in everything we do. God, that we bring your person to the workplace. We bring your presence to the workplace, God, because of your representation, God. We pray for strong representation. As the enemy will try day after day after day to wear our resolve and to cause us to fall, we choose to stand firm. We choose to be vigilant by the power of your grace, by your divine empowerment, God. We will not fall, we will stand. Give us wisdom, God, wisdom on how to behave, how to act, what to say. Father, that in all you be glorified. Lord, there's Egyptian masters out there. There's a worldly system with ungodly principles, God. Lord, we are placed right in the middle, God. Let us faithfully, God, exhibit you. Let us showcase Christ to a lost and a dying world and bring pleasure to you, God. We were created for your image, God. Thank you, God, for dying on the cross for us. Even as we partake of your emblems, we remember the work you wrought at the cross. That because you saw Adam marred the image in mankind, you desire to restore the image. And so you sent your son, Jesus, to die for us, to restore the image. Jesus, thank you for your obedience, for dying on the cross, so that today we can bear the image of the Father. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. We partake in Jesus' name.